We began last Sunday what's going to be a series over the next couple of Sunday mornings about this statement that when it's all about me, what is involved in that kind of attitude, that kind of thinking. But before we get to that, I just want to say that the congregation over the last 5 months has been saddened by the loss of two of our older gentlemen within the congregation. Everett was one who was known and loved by the congregation for decades, from its beginnings here, and has certainly been missed. Sonny was a rather newcomer to the congregation, especially in comparison to Everett's time with us. During that short time that Sonny was with us, however, he certainly had a bright smile on his face and was, for me personally, a tremendous encourager. He apparently at one time in his life, and we never talked about this, but I think he was a figure skate judge during Olympics, because he always came out and gave me a score at the end of each sermon. And you know, that's what they do in the Olympics. Now, I will have you know that he always gave me tens, so we know that he was impartial and fair-minded about it. But we will miss his sweet disposition, even during the last weeks as he was extremely uncomfortable. Nonetheless, we will miss him, and I know we'll all wrap our arms around Clara and support her over the years to come. Fortunately or unfortunately, we have a number of widows within the congregation, and I suppose at some point you might find yourselves bonding together in some ways, but nonetheless, we'll all be here for you, Clara, and I think you know that, and we will certainly miss Sonny very much. I would also like to just say a parting word. We will miss the chapels as they go back to Prospect. That's where they've worshipped all the time that she's been a Christian, and I believe he most all of his life. And they gave a shot at being with a bunch of strangers and decided it was going to be good to go back home. And so we certainly wish them God's blessings as they go back and encourage the brethren in that country congregation. The big city here was just too much for them. And so we'll miss them and certainly want to know that any time they come back to visit, we will certainly welcome them in that. So, when we talk about this idea of it's all about me, last week we talked about the fact that what an individual actually does is sometimes builds up kind of a wall around themselves to the idea of really excluding others. And there are various aspects of that kind of attitude. And the one we talked about last Sunday morning was taking on the idea of thinking highly of oneself. And we talked a lot about the idea of narcissism. Sharon likes to take notes as well as some of the others. And she made mention of the fact that she only had two verses, I think, to look at, maybe three, during that lesson. She'll not be disappointed. There aren't going to be a lot of verses today either. But I think there'll be verses that will be important to us as we talk about the ideas that cause us to block other people out. And in doing so, it isn't just the idea. We're not talking about the idea that we've become some kind of recluse that doesn't want to be around people. We're talking about the idea, like with the sense of the narcissism we talked about last week, it isn't that they want to block people out. It's that nobody else is as important as they are. And therefore, this idea of thinking highly of self. Well, we concluded that and then began or made mention of the fact that this morning we're going to talk about another problem that arises that causes us to block others out. When, by the way, God doesn't want it that way. God doesn't want us living off in some isolated area by ourselves. We talked about that for a moment in class this morning with the young adults. He doesn't want us to be in some kind of little monastery or some kind of little commune of ourselves where we're not around the world around us. In fact, He wants us to take the gospel to the world. And while we are in the world, we're not of the world. And so it's not God's desire that we block others out because we're going to elevate ourselves above others. But involved in this oftentimes is that sense of self being better than the people around us. I think today we are repeatedly told about the value and the importance of self-esteem. Now, I'm going to take the next few minutes and put a knock on self-esteem. But I want to present a caveat for you to remember as I talk down self-esteem. I think it's important that we have a proper attitude about who we are in value in the eyes of God and in the eyes of the world around us. So I am by no means talking this morning about individuals who have gone through a lot of struggles in life where somebody has just beat them down constantly about their worth. And that needs to be repaired. And that needs to be brought into a good biblical attitude. So I'm not talking about that situation. I'm talking about a situation if we allow ourselves to simply think that the most important thing on earth, almost even more important than God, is who we are and how we are and what everybody thinks about who we are, and especially if I have the self-esteem that promotes me above others. Similar to the idea of thinking more highly of self that we talked about last week. I told you last week that I went on Amazon and found that there's over 50,000. In fact, one little search I did a while back showed over 80,000 books on self-help. And many of those books, as I read the titles, in fact, I have some in my library, are good books, and they are beneficial in helping us to understand who we are in relation to God, as opposed to what some negative things people might have done to us in the past that beat us down. But there are others that are simply full of fluff and the narcissism that we talked about last week. A couple of the titles that I jotted down. How to Raise Your Self-Esteem. Just looking at the synopsis of it, it was very ego-centered. I've seen and have some that are along those same lines, because a lot of titles kind of interact with each other, that are really about the person who has been beaten down and how they can develop again the sense of self that God wants us to have. Breaking the Chains of Low Self-Esteem, 30 Minutes to Self-Confidence, and How to Be Assertive. Only 30 minutes, I thought that sounded like a good deal. Somebody else was a little slower with their book, 31 Days to High Self-Esteem, How to Change Your Life So You Have Joy, Bliss, and Abundance. Listen, God wants us to have joy. God wants us to have bliss. God wants abundance within our lives. But we're never going to have the joy, bliss, and abundance that God talks about if it's all centered around making sure you know about me, making sure you're centered on me, and making sure I have the joy, bliss, etc. Even a particular Bible program among a religious group of people have one that talks about active Bible curriculum boosting self-esteem. I didn't look at it, and I'm not suggesting it in any mockery way. It may be actually a curriculum that talks about those who have been neglected and abused and need to build up who they are. But we need to recognize that a lot of our educators, a lot of our psychiatrists, and those who are writing these kind of self-help books are really not dealing with so much of the damaged ego, the damaged self. But rather than that, it's taking what we would consider a healthy sense of who we are and taking it to the sky, always centered around me, always centered around what's about me. And I also recognize that in presenting this series over the next few weeks, and even in the lesson today, that this is a tricky thing to talk about. Because while I have nobody here in mind, there may be some here that have dealt with the things that I talked about a moment ago of having had a difficult life and difficult circumstances And having been around individuals that just robbed you of your self-worth. And so as, again, I just want to remind you, the thoughts I'm sharing with you today aren't about those kinds of environments, but rather the type of ego that gets us in trouble because we elevate ourselves above what God would want us to be and to be about. So please understand me as we talk about this and address this in the lesson this morning. Paul does give us some instruction with regard to the idea of thinking of self, instructions that I think as he taught on high esteem, he was talking about the problem that we're talking about this morning. If you'd like to open your Bibles, please feel free to do so, or you can follow on the screen. The passage on the screen there in Philippians 2 and verse 3 is from the New King James Translation. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Philippian brethren there, "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself." You can see just by the reading of the passage, before I give any comment on it, that it certainly is talking about the point I'm trying to make throughout this series. And it's not so much the sense of those who need to be built up, but the person that is already in good estate with regard to their mind, really adding on because of dealing with self and the sense of importance. The idea of esteem here is really simply the idea of going before. So that it's always putting myself first, going first, being involved first, making sure you people take care of me first. And I don't mean you as a congregation and me as the preacher. I mean any individual, no matter where they may be, no matter what the circumstance, it's always going to be me first. The Greek word that's used there is translated in a number of places with simply the idea of a contrasting of to be counted, to be advanced. It's only used three times in the sense of the word esteem, but the definition is still that sense of going before. And it really is about regarding self above others. And within Scripture, what he's really wanting us to do is flip that and really be concerned about others rather than always being concerned about ourselves. If you wanted to see a contrast between what Paul is talking about here and what we're trying to present within this series, some of the contrasts that I think would be applicable would be the sense of conceit, selfish ambitions, versus the sense of a lowliness of mind. While we talk about the sense of a lowliness of mind, it is by no means God's intent that He expects us to walk around downtrodden in our look, looking like we have been beat down, looking like to be a child of God we have to look like something that is a person that is of no worth to anyone else. God doesn't want that in our lives either. So with many things throughout Scripture, you're dealing with a balance in who you are and who you're about. What's important to you as you interact with others? And Paul wants the Ephesian brethren to do that as well. It's the idea of having a desire to put oneself forward at all times. It is actually used here and in other places in such a proactive way that you end up being one who is facilitating factions, facilitating divisions among people. Because if it's not my way, there's going to be trouble. If we're not going to do it my way, I'm going to make sure it doesn't get done. If we're not going to do it my way, I'm going to get the people that are going to do it my way, and we're going to cause problems for anybody else. That can be a problem within a church. It can be a problem within a workplace. It can be a problem within a family environment. So we're not talking simply about that sense of, and we certainly are first and foremost concerned about that, how it might impact the congregation. But the reality is this, when you have the problem we're talking about this morning of valuing self better, it's going to carry over into every part of your life. There may well be people at work that when they see you coming, they may be thinking, oh boy, here they are again, and you know what we got to do today? We got to walk on eggs. We've got to tiptoe around them because they're going to want everything being done their way. Let me throw out another caveat. There are going to be times when you're in a position where your way is the best way. And you may be in an organization where you're being paid to lead people to do it your way because your way is what the organization wants as the best way. So don't anybody here who happens to be in some position of authority and is responsible for exercising that authority that your organization has given you think that I'm talking about the fact that, well, you're sinning if you exercise what they're telling you to carry out. Okay, so we have that second caveat understood. We're talking about who we are as individuals. Because if you've been given that responsibility in an organization, you've got to learn to tone it down when it comes to family matters. You've got to tone it down when it comes to interaction with friends or neighbors. You've got to learn to tone it down when it comes to congregations. I'm going to very delicately stick my neck out here and we'll pretend I didn't say this later. Personal observation. There are some, and Trevor's not here, he doesn't fall into this category anyhow. I've observed over the years, and it's not a perfect observation, there are certain people with certain secular jobs that they have had trouble letting go of their authority when they become an elder. Two ranks within the military that I think of. Guys that are colonels, you might have thought, well, I'd mentioned generals or admirals. Guys that are colonels and guys that are chief petty officers. Let me tell you what. My experience in the military was, I wasn't in the Army, so colonel has a different equivalent in the Navy. But guys that got to be a full bird colonel, they were pretty much top dog. They might have to answer to the admiral. They might have to answer to the captain of the boat, but as colonel, they got control. You didn't question them. Chief petty officer, the chief petty officer on a ship could probably tell most of the officers, go take a walk off the plank at the end of the boat. They held that much authority, that much sway. And I've seen in a few cases, and maybe this is a too broad a generalization, and we may edit it out of the sermon, but sometimes you can be in a position at work that puts upon you so much authority that you forget that when you come into the Lord's work, you got to put that aside. You got to just shelve it. You don't get to be the colonel. You don't get to be the master chief within the eldership. And I hope that you understand what I'm saying is this. Whatever your great responsibilities are in a particular mode of employment, when it comes to being children of God working together, we give the authority the elders are given by Scripture, but we also recognize there's the danger even there of the me toos and the alsos. So watch for self-esteem as we talk about this. You know, in the life of Christ, certainly He said, I am meek and lowly in heart. You'll find rest into your souls. Over in 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, as He is talking about love, He talks about the fact that love does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil. I think the mind of Christ has told us that we need to esteem others better than ourselves, quite obviously, as Paul had mentioned. But we also need to remember that love does not behave rudely. love is not one that is always saying, me, me, me. And if I find myself, or if you find yourself, always beginning with me for what an end result needs to be, then I've got to stop and reflect upon whether or not I'm dealing with this problem correctly, and if I need to be aware of it or not. The Lord willing, in 2 weeks, because Connie and I will be leaving next weekend for a lectureship down in Florida, but in 2 weeks we're going to go from this self-esteem and better of self to the idea of pleasing ourselves. Pleasing ourselves first and foremost, and the dangers that are going to lie in that area. And we'll have 3 verses to look at that time. But there's a lot that the Scriptures have to say about making sure that when we're out there wanting to do that which pleases others, that we don't put ourselves at the top of that list. So I hope you'll plan to join us for that particular lesson. But from this morning's lesson, I would hope that you've taken away the sense that indeed, as a child of God, I want to be an individual that knows how to be willing to follow others as they go forward, to be willing to consider others and not simply myself and what my esteem is all about. And I hope that you'll also recognize that while we've talked about this as a negative, we've given plenty of thought as well to the fact that there may be some who need areas that are damaged from unrighteous behaviors of others. And those areas need to be built up and brought into the proper personality that God wants us to be. But let's be careful that we don't get so caught up in our own self-esteem that we begin to be destructive to our families, we begin to be destructive to the people around us, and we even begin to be destructive to the children of God that meet here or in other places. So I hope these thoughts have been meaningful for your thought and consideration this morning. We're going to sing a song of invitation here in just a moment. And as most in the audience know, this is a time when we want folks to reflect on what they understand the Scriptures teach about becoming a child of God. And if you're not a child of God, quite simply to realize that Christ died to save our souls. That's the grace that Jesus, or Paul rather, talks about over in Ephesians, the 2nd chapter. Christ's death at the cross. We, in return, respond to that saving grace by turning away from serving Satan, walking in darkness, and come to the light of Jesus Christ. That's what repentance is about. And as we come to Christ, we confess Him to be the Son of God, and then we die with Him in the waters of baptism. That washes away our sins. That lets us be clothed in Christ. If there's anyone here this morning that has not done that, then we certainly would invite you, if you have the significance of that and are willing to make the commitment to that, we would pray that you would choose this day to die with Christ and to rise to walk in newness of life. If you have a need to respond, we invite you to have a seat here at the front as we stand together and as we sing.